garbage truck. Oh no, I take you to the dump, 'cause you're my queen. Take you uptown, I show you the sights you know you wanna ride. I'm a garbage truck.
Live from Studio 511, 257th episode of Houston Wrestling Radio. I'm Abel.
I'm Arnold.
I'm Chris.
What's up? Thank you for joining us. If you're watching us live, you could do so, or you could chat along with us. I'm going to pull you up right now on the YouTube channel. And of course, it asked me if I wants to do red, which I don't want to do.
I don't want to do red.
Right.
Sounds perverted.
Okay. Anyway, chat with us on there. And interact and whatever. So, yeah, if you're not watching us live, facebook.com/ Houston Wrestling Radio, on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio.
If you're not watching us live, we know why, motherfucker.
Yeah, I thought I fit in this week. It's the only one I had.
All right.
TLC.
They just never were the same after Left Eye. They just.
Did you ever watch that reality show where they try to find the replacement?
No, I didn't want to.
It was horseshit. Oh, yeah. 9 episodes of horseshit.
Terrible. It like offended me. And I'm not easily offended. Actually, I'm easily offended.
You're very easily
offended. Yeah, but no. Anyway, yeah, you're talking about the tomatoes, the lettuce, and celery that was being thrown at Elias?
Yeah. Ooh,
that was funny. I didn't get it at first. Then I got it later.
Well, you had to have gotten it, though. They had 3 fucking segments.
Yeah.
3.
I didn't know that there was a joke in there to get, but now that y'all explained it to me, I was like, yeah, okay.
I enjoyed 2 of the segments. The third one was like, all right. And then the match, I did not watch.
The whole point, you didn't
watch. Yeah, I on purpose didn't watch.
So we have to go into the entire pay-per-view itself, because what we anticipated on Wednesday is not what we got on Sunday.
Not going to do it.
The gingivitis, Roman's out, Bray Wyatt's out, JoJo's gingivitis. Out, Bo Dallas is out. Somebody else? Did I miss somebody? So they changed the card at the last minute with 3 days to go. Yeah. They have Angle replace Roman in the Shield match. What did you think at first when you read the announcement? Did you think it was fake news?
The first thing I said was like, this is fake. This is kayfabe news. This isn't real. Then I saw WWE and I was like, what?
Yeah, and it was like real.
Instantly
like,
shared it from the HWR page. I was like, what the hell? Why? And we saw why. I was like, what? Because we had been hearing some rumors of why JoJo wasn't there, because she was sick or something like that. And Bo had been gone for 2 weeks already. But we didn't know why. Now we know why. They were sharing the sauce.
Is that what it is?
Brotherly love. Marinara.
Yeah. Brotherly love.
Nice.
Bigger surprise, Angle's return or Finn versus AJ?
Biggest surprise, as in I didn't see that coming, was Angle's return.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. Not saying that's the thing I'm most happy about. I don't know if I necessarily wanted to watch Angle wrestle. I mean, he did all right. And he was funny being the dorky dad standing behind, you know, the other two with the Shield gear on.
Shit-eating grin.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was cool. He's still entertaining. He's still got that dorky charisma about him, that dad joke charisma that he always had.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily, hell yeah, Kurt Angle, I want to see him wrestle.
Yeah.
You know?
I was like, what the fuck? Okay. All right, okay. Yeah, I mean, he wrestled like 5 months ago against Cody in like London, so I know he can still hang, but we'll see, because he can barely stand. So, you know, he stands like this. like he's jamming. He's not jamming. And, but then instantly, whenever I saw AJ Styles versus Finn Balor, I damn near cried. I was like, oh my God, that's going to be so good. That's going to be so fucking good. And I almost was like, I hope I don't get my hopes too high for this match, because I expect it to be match of the year candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Match of the year?
Match of the year candidate. It was, I liked it a lot, dude.
Well, I guess that's what happens when you have the runs. You just blow your load.
I guess so.
You heard him. He just skipped match of the week entirely. He's already at match of the year candidate.
What I was getting to next is a comment I made to Abel. My match of a pick that I have for match of the week, match of the maybe whatever potential pick, match of the year, wasn't even my match of the night, so we'll keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is it then?
Wait, what?
I don't know. I thought we were blowing our loads early.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Let's run down.
Okay.
All
right. How about the cruiserweight title match?
As expected, and it was all right. Like it wasn't the worst output from Enzo. It wasn't the best. Kalisto, you know, he brought it. He made it, you know, believable. Once he pinned him, I was like, all right, I see what happened. I see that they only put the belt on Kalisto because Neville walked out. And they had to rearrange shit.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You still think it's a work?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But they've been – like we've seen in the recent past that there's been some hot potato stuff that has happened before. And I don't want to say, oh, that happens all the time now. But it's happened more often than not now.
Especially with the women.
Yeah, well, and we're talking about cruiserweights. No, what I'm just saying, yeah, that
general,
happened with
like WWE in general.
So I wonder if that's their way of keeping a feud going. It's like, oh, automatic rematch. We could do this like 5 times, mm-hmm. and you know, just have them switch the belts. And yeah, that's it.
They had a rematch last night. I didn't watch, but I imagine it was all right. And
Enzo won.
Enzo won.
Enzo's getting better. I mean, he's. I had the question again. It's like, I wonder how he'll do. In the beginning, but now he's starting in the ring. I think he's starting to come along.
But what really, you know, grinds my gears about it is that the cruiserweight division is supposed to highlight wrestling,
right?
I understand Enzo brings the money, he brings the crowd, and they were failing miserably.
All right,
but it's just kind of like that's just me being, you know, like the wrestling guy. It's kind of me being like, yeah, man, but we have somebody who does both. Can we get somebody who does both, who entertains the crowd, but also
get you a girl that does both?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't, apparently, because, I mean, they're trying. They put on a tag team cruiserweight match on the pay-per-view for no reason.
Yeah.
And it was good. Remember, I tried to fast-forward it. I was like, I don't want to watch this.
You started fast-forwarding it while we were at work, and I was like, no, dude, you should watch it.
So I stopped.
Like, and you stop halfway through. Yeah. And my boss, our boss, were both like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, damn, I'm glad I didn't fast-forward through that. I was like, son of a bitch.
Okay, if you're complaining that Enzo doesn't have both, is there anyone on the roster that has both?
Cruiserweight-wise?
If it's taking me this long to answer, then no.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Noam, because Noam's funny.
But you know,
is he just as funny now without Alicia Fox?
I would imagine if they let him and he found something to do to be funny, he would. But since Alicia Fox is gone, they haven't done anything for him at all. So, I mean, if you see him on Twitter and stuff, he's typing in his accent and saying just stupid shit all the time, kind of like Rusev. It's like, oh goddamn, Rusev's funny as hell.
Yeah.
You never see it in the ring. So it's kind of the same way with Nolan Dar. Like, he's fucking funny as hell. But,
yeah. The one I think could do it, but I think they've already either already done it or will drop the ball on, is Mustafa Ali. Mm. I see him as, like, a potential, what I always wanted X-Pac to be when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, has that kind of the similar gear, you know, can do the whatever, all the flippy-dippy stuff, but is also good and entertaining. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he is behind the mic, but... Again, we're kind of reaching here.
Yeah.
So we get what we get.
Yeah.
Which of the women's matches were more impressive? Title match or the debut of Asuka?
That's a tough one.
The debut of Asuka?
That's a tough one because they were actually both really good.
They were, yeah.
I didn't expect good. I expected all right from Mickie James and Alexa, but Mickie James was rejuvenated. I liked what I saw from her. But, man, Emma and Asuka – was as when I started watching, because I watched it late. I had some shit go down on Sunday, so I watched it Monday morning or throughout the day at work instead of working. I watched the first match and I was just like, wow, dude, I have like a match of the week candidate, the first match into TLC, because that match was badass, and it's the best I've seen him. I know when I said that, you got a little snobby about it. Stuff like that. Yeah. I get it. She was good in NXT after she did the stupid thing. But, yeah, I get it. But it's a good – I have seen Emma. It's the best I've seen Emma. And Asuka, no one's ready for
us. What about you? Like, you keep asking us questions, and you haven't given us any of your opinions about any of this
I have
shit.
A lot of negative opinions, actually. Right. And I'm about to start with this one.
All right.
help me out here.
All right.
The match was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was – it was not what I expected it
Emma,
to be.
Emma and Asuka.
Okay. Emma and Asuka. But it doesn't really, it felt like a bait and switch. Because exactly you tell me that this chick is undefeated in NXT, that she's held the belt for 5,346 days, yeah, and you're putting her up against this chick that can't even walk straight without like stealing something at the store, yeah, and she's been treated as a joke for the last 6 months on the roster, and you're going to tell me that this woman decided to pull out all of a sudden out of nowhere after volunteering, hey, I want to die from Asuka. She's going to pull out a match of the week candidate worthy match. It didn't, in the end of the day, it didn't.
You wanted a squash?
You wanted Goldberg.
I was expecting a squash, yeah, and I didn't get it on Sunday.
Yeah.
I would have been pacified if the rematch on Monday was what I wanted,
yeah,
and it wasn't.
Yeah. No,
it was literally the same match. Yeah. It was literally the same match, and now that left me scratching my head where I should be liking it more than I am, but what I expected and the story that they told me to expect wasn't what I got.
I get that, because that's what I was thinking too. I was like, man, I thought we were supposed to see Asuka dominate. I was expecting to see Asuka dominate. But another thing you can think of is Asuka brings out the best in everybody she fights. You can say that. I don't know what she has, but that could be her new thing. She could make Dana Brooke look good next week.
Yeah, but that's not a kayfabe thing, because as competitors looking across each other from the ring, your goal isn't to, oh, I want to make you look good. Your goal, kayfabe-wise, is to defeat you. Mm-hmm. So you can't have and that as a case
destroyed.
So remember what?
Yeah, that's what our legacy so far is left.
What I used to always see about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and John Cena to an extent at the end is that's what they do.
They make you look good, yeah. But that's not a kayfabe thing. That's just like a industry insider. Yeah. Oh well, you know these two will put on a good match because he'll make you look good.
Yeah.
But like
maybe that's the goal. That's,
It probably is, but you can't make that like be your gimmick.
Yeah,
my gimmick is I'm going to make you look good. Yeah. Like, what? You're breaking the fourth wall by just having that gimmick. So yeah, that wouldn't make.
What about the Mickey and Blissey?
Mickey and Blissey?
Yeah, the biscuit butt.
That was fun. That was fun when they were doing the dueling kicks at each other. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that in a good way. And I got what I got what I expected. And sometimes when you get what you expected, if it's good, you don't complain, and I'm probably not complaining about this one, other than the fact that I wish I would have got more angles of biscuit butt.
Yes, well, she did spank her.
She did spank her.
Saw that.
She spanked her real good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're dogs.
Yeah, I know. Porsche and Randy in the chat on the couch. They're bringing up something about the Asuka match that was brought up on the commentary, which was, oh, you graduate from NXT and you get put in WWE, the competition is stiffer, you know. So the weakest WWE main roster person is stronger than the strongest, you know, NXT graduate type thing.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to go with on that. But I don't know. I still kind of feel what you're saying, Chris.
I would have understood.
The impact, you should have had a fucking impact. And you did.
If it was Nia Jax that was the first match, they could have easily played the commentary that Nia Jax has had a rivalry with Asuka. And if anyone's due to beat her, it's someone that learns from her mistakes and has learned from being in a higher difficulty level, being on the Raw roster. And the fact that it wasn't her, that would have it would have made more sense for me if it was her and got the match we got. For Emma being booked as straight almost trash for the last 3 months, and all of a sudden she does that out of Asuka.
I get that, but I still personally think Emma's stock rose because of this match.
Oh yeah, it definitely did.
The whole the payoff for giving Emma a chance paid off.
Yeah,
gave him a chance. She shined.
Yeah, it did. So, yeah, I don't know. Boom. What else?
We'll get right to it. Finn versus AJ Styles.
It was so good.
It was a good match.
You think it was going to be good, and it's good. You know what I mean? Like, when it meets your expectations, and like just slightly above them. Like, I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to not get myself, you know, too like riled up, because it's the WWE. They'll do have like a freaking shenanigans like finish or whatever. But no. The right man won, because it was a Raw pay-per-view. You don't come on and dismantle a Raw guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bam-bam match. And that coup de grace was coup de
bad. I thought he twisted his ankle on that landing.
That was nasty.
Bonked his guts into his stomach. Dude. That's the way it was supposed to look. You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, man. But AJ just looked brilliant. That thing where he was on on the top rope, and he did kind of like a Frankensteiner deal.
Yeah.
Oh man, that match was for that being their first match together ever. And that's not even kayfabe. That's ever. Legit. Like yeah. that was their first match together because they were in the Bullet Club together. Right?
No.
Well, separate times.
So
no,
Finn time, left. Times. AJ was his replacement. Gotcha. AJ yeah. kicked Finn out. So that's they never right. really had a one-on-one in, yeah. in New Japan or Ring of Honor.
The
or
first anybody. Leader of the Bullet Club right. versus the second leader yeah. of the Bullet Club. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they never had the chance to fight each other.
Right.
And they did end up.
You can want to be really
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it too. Maybe I didn't pay as close of attention as I should have to it. I thought I did, but I was like, yeah, that was cool. Mm. And that's it. Like I wasn't like, oh my God, my mind is blown. And maybe that's a little bit of the Lucha, Ultima Lucha hangover that I had after watching it with you, then recording the dark match and putting it on the air.
4.5 hours.
Yeah. And then watching TLC and like, yeah. oh man, yeah. you know, that's what it was.
I'm going to give you an alternative reason.
Okay.
Me being a little biased, what the hell is Survivor Series? Dead Raw beginning. Versus SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
Okay.
That here in Houston that we all got tickets to.
Right.
I selfishly would have wanted to see that match here. In yeah, person, not yeah. just because yeah. I'm gonna be there and I'm a selfish fuck,
yeah,
we'll but because you didn't get any build to this. You're the that, guy that may likes have been build. It. Yes, at least a couple of it. Weeks, a 30-second explanation from each guy or something to get you into. Beside,
but what there, there was say how there was so build. Good about fucking. I wouldn't say about ROH maybe, but especially New Japan,
yeah.
they put on stores without stores. They don't need mm-hmm. stores. They put on a fucking story in the match themselves with. Their moves. That's right. that's they show that Corey said it as much.
So then why didn't you come watch Lucha with us?
Man, I had some shit going on Sunday. I was bad lucky to be at a house on Sunday. So I'll just go with that.
Lucha's very story driven too, yeah. though. Lucha's not like ROH or NXT where it doesn't matter, where the storyline is like William Regal tweeted out. The story is just, hey, one man versus another man, the winner gets, you know, mm-hmm. gets to win and you know, put food on his table.
Yeah.
You know, that's the story. But you come to WWE and you come to Lucha Underground, both of them are different styles altogether. You know, from WWE, you come to expect a story to go along with it, with the grandeur and the pageantry and the, you know, all this and that. And Lucha Underground, you just expect some crazy shit that doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the actual wrestling, but then the wrestling winds up being good.
Mm-hmm.
So when WWE tries to do that thing where they just, all right, let's just throw these two together because, well, you have an extenuating circumstance. Somebody catches the meningitis. Okay. Yeah. You know, but I mean, it's not bad. I'm not going to sit here and shit over this match. I liked it. Again, I might be blaming myself for not being so gaga over it because I may have been just fucking fatigued.
And again, also, I watched it with fresh eyes because it was the next day. It was me, like, literally in the van of the truck while my boss drove around and did it work because you were busy on
you didn't read any spoilers on the internet, nut clips or nut. That's good.
I still, really good. I stayed away from TLC and The Walking Dead as they both happened. My brain was like, I want to watch something.
Don't worry, I didn't watch Walking Dead either. I still haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen it?
Nah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It was good. The coolest part for me in that match is also the biggest flaw that I had from the entire pay-per-view and from the WWE universe itself.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start the match and have Michael Cole on commentary saying that they both used to lead the same, were both the leaders of the same faction at one point. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're ending the match with AJ and Finn doing the two sweet and everybody clapping along and it was fucking epic. Fucking epic. And then you're going to tell me throughout the entire fucking pay-per-view that Kurt Angle hasn't wrestled in a wrestling ring in over 11 years, knowing damn well that on the same WWE network, they've been showing videos of Kurt Angle actually having a life outside the fucking company.
They've actually
And they bashed it over my head with a fucking shovel.
They've been very careful and saying he hasn't wrestled in a WWE.
They didn't know that wasn't no, every that, time no, he said
Arnold's
it.
Right. Arnold's right. They did always say WWE.
Not always, because otherwise I wouldn't have had that thought in my head.
If they did fuck up, then they fucked up.
I
was very like, okay, because I was gonna say the same thing. I was like, I'm not gonna forgive him if they say that shit. And they didn't. To me, I heard, I didn't hear them.
Somebody in there correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I heard it several times.
They did say, they almost always said it where it was like 11 years away from a WWE ring. But the way that they phrased it, they phrased it like, cover your ass.
Yeah.
But they also wanted to fool the people out there who don't know anybody there.
If you watch the match, I love how Booker T. Bobby Heenan did. Like, he was like, he was shitting on Angle the whole match. Like, oh, this is stupid. This is retarded. I told you to do it. And that's because I told you it was going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it
was really this good. Has been happening for weeks. Booker T's kind of taking Corey Graves' position as the switcher.
Well, even then, Corey Graves is not that much the switcher, except when it comes to Enzo and Elias.
Yeah. But Booker T is like,
Booker does
put the pedal to the metal and goes all out.
He'll shit all over Jason Jordan. Because, like, oh, he got the opportunity, but then be like, oh, he's good, though. Like, what? Like, wait a minute. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. I love Booker. And he's, like, cracking up Corey and Cole.
They start, like, double
teaming. They're laughing at him. So I can hear low, like, real audibly.
Yeah. Like, this motherfucker.
Are you fucking retarded? Like, I can hit that vibe, but I like it because it's, like, it's fun to watch. And if you catch a heated conversation with Booker, he's kind of not that way. He's kind of, like, knows his shit, so it's, I don't know if he's playing up to it or sometimes he just loses his shit because he's blind. I don't know what it is, but it's fun. You gotta love it.
What do you think of the main event?
I thought it was fun, but pointless. I don't think that it should have been something to be a main event in today's WWE. Like, it felt like this could have been the main event of, like, one of the in-your-houses that didn't really count back in the 90s. Or right now, the main event of a live show in fucking Chile or Brazil, where it doesn't really matter.
TLC was a live in-your-house that didn't really matter.
True, I get it. But right now, in this day and age, they all fucking count. But this felt like a... hey, we're just going to have fun and bullshit around and whatever. Who cares about the rules?
They literally had a mulligan, like, fuck it. I really wish, behind the scenes, my stomach is not good right now. I was trying to get a banana. I really wish I had a banana right here. Because I was going to say this match was fucking bananas. This match was fucking insane. It was so entertaining. It was bananas. And I was like, come on. Like, three times I'm like, come on, man.
If the point was to entertain and that's it, then they succeeded.
Those spots that they did were really fun, like, to watch. Everything with the in-ring was cool, and then the shield, you know, slamming on, Kane and Strowman?
Yeah, that
was fun. Just everything, once they took it to the back and then the chairs, you know that motherfucker was not there. Yeah. And he fucking got back under it and laid down.
Hey,
oh, man.
Threw him in the dumpster.
Yeah, I think Glenn Jacobs was trying to run for mayor, but he's committing murder on fucking pay-per-view. Literally killed that guy. He's dead, right?
Crazy.
He's dead. We haven't heard he's dead, right?
He's dead. He wasn't there on Monday night, so he's dead. I mean, he's like Sister Abigail now. Yeah. So basically, Bray Wyatt's going to channel his former Wyatt family member, Braun Strowman, and
is it gonna come out with a trash bag?
You're right.
Home run,
Dodgers. Oh, goddamn. How many runs? Was it a solo home run?
Solo
home run.
1-1.
1-1.
What inning? What inning?
Fifth? Yeah, we're fifth inning. Fifth
Verlander inning. Still pitching?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh. My biggest problem with that match that kept me from having as much fun as you guys had, and this is a personal excuse for me. I was in Orlando last year for the Royal Rumble where 5 minutes into it, Roman Reigns got taken out and he sat in the back and took a cup of water while everything happened. I was in Brooklyn for the four-way main event when Brock Lesnar got taken out 3 minutes in and sat in the back and had a Gatorade. This felt like the same match we would have got even if Roman was there, where everyone targeted Roman, beat the shit out of him. He goes back and orders a pizza, and then he's gonna come back, and they expect everyone to cheer him because now he's not Roman Reigns. Yeah. Now he's one third of the Shield, thinking that that's gonna get the rub off, and it just felt old to me.
You know,
to me, that formula felt tired as fuck.
Well, that formula is something that they've been using lately, kind of like the hot potato formula with the belts now. That's something that, like, in the last few years or so is a theme that they've been, you know, going to that well for. I mean, it started with, I'd probably say, WrestleMania 30 with D-Briar. Yeah. D-Briar went to the back and then came back out. And then, like, we've seen this at least three times in the recent history.
And Charlotte, that Hell in a Cell. Yeah. I mean, they were trying to go and get her, and then
D-Briar technically didn't leave. He had the opening match with Triple H won. During the triple threat, he was going to get stretchered out, but he woke up and yeah, got off the
stretcher. Before they could stretcher him all
so
the way.
So he was never off of the camera long enough for you to ask yourself, where the fuck is D-Bron?
Yeah.
Roman was,
all those other examples that you just stated off of them.
Yeah, they were all there. They were all off the camera long enough for me to wonder.
D-Bron didn't start it, but they got an idea from that. Like,
Well, that wasn't even their idea because that's something that they've done, you know, in wrestling. It's just you only saw it once every couple of years, and now it's like once every few months.
Oh yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on Angle's performance overall?
Overall, thumbs up. Yeah. Like, wait, all right, good job. Yeah. He deserves a pat on the butt, but I'm not. I'm not gonna go crazy for him. Like, oh my god, I gotta see more Angle.
That bump he took getting out of the ring, where they kind of like
that Braun Strowman slam.
Oh my god, no. Where they like threw him out of the ring.
And he
like this, doing it. I was like a toy. He felt like an action figure that didn't move. It was, so that was.
That's it for TLC in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yay, TLC.
Do y'all want to start with the beginning of Raw or the end of Raw?
We'll start with the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on Kurt Angle spoiling Brock Lesnar's announcement.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
I was supposed to answer the challenge, and he was like, yeah, he's going to do it. Oh, okay.
Fucking which
Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal.
Mahal. Oh, god damn it.
In case the Survivor Series promo during TLC wasn't already the spoiler, Kurt Angle had to double spoil it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, he came out there and said, Jinder came out there and said last week, I want to challenge, Brock. Okay, cool. He kind of made it sound like it was his own idea and that he got it because he went over to India and the kids in India were like, hey, if you really want to be taken serious, do this. And I bought that story. I bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, because I was like, okay, finally a good story that makes sense for him to challenge Brock fucking Lesnar. Okay, cool. But they fucked it all up when they said, oh, hey, we've scheduled this to be Raw versus SmackDown. Like, oh, okay. And Raw stars versus SmackDown stars, Raw champions versus SmackDown champions. Like, okay. So you kind of stole the thunder of the actual storyline out from underneath Jinder. So it kind of looks like, oh, Jinder versus Brock just because, oh, that's champ versus champ. Mm-hmm. You're going to die. Sorry. Yeah. But like before, it looked like he just had fucking cojones. Like, hey, I'm going to challenge Brock. If it would have been like, hey, I'm going to challenge Brock, Brock accepts, and then we're like,
everybody else is like, oh, you know what?
Well, you know what? All right, fuck it. Let's do Raw versus SmackDown. Then, like, oh, okay, cool. But they kind of tipped their hand by showing, hey, this is going to be Raw versus SmackDown anyway. Like, then Jinder's like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
So it made him not look as strong.
Then, later on in the show, Heyman and Lesnar come out.
Ooh.
Yep.
And just dismantle Jinder Mahal. Like, they de-pantsed him, dude. They made him, like, yeah, that guy, that jobber, he's still a jobber. You're just booking him. Like, he's not a jobber. That's basically what he said. Like,
he's not his contemporary. Yes. He's not his equal. He's not his all that. Oh, man.
That was my second disappointment from Raw.
Okay.
The first being Angle spoiling it. And here's why. We already got spoiled on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We already got spoiled the first thing, 8:05 on Monday with Kurt Angle. Heyman comes out and completely trashes Jinder. Yeah. Completely. Not only trashing him, but outclassing him. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I don't talk trash about Lesnar's opponents. Because Lesnar's opponents deserve to be in the ring with Lesnar.
But this
they need to be as credible to him. Otherwise, you're not going to buy this match.
Yeah.
And then he started laying into Jinder. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But this guy.
Wait a minute. Is there a possibility that Lesnar's going to say no? Because he doesn't believe that Jinder's on his level, or Heyman's gonna say no, and I was like, okay, great.
On the Lesnar Neville,
the Neville Lesnar Neville,
yes,
Lesnar Neville. So I was
also,
like, okay.
Keep in mind, kind of bleeding in a little bit in the SmackDown here. You got AJ's. Clearly, he's gonna be challenging for the title. Let's say by some miracle, Survivor Series, Jinder Mahal's still the champion.
Well, he's gonna be still the champion.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't a title match.
Okay.
Let him get there.
Okay, okay. Let me get there. I'm saying, let's say AJ Styles doesn't beat him, regardless if he's champion or not. Doesn't matter. They're still going to fight. Let's say he beats AJ Styles. Like,
that Jinder beats AJ.
AJ Styles, yeah. So he's,
when?
Whenever. They have 4 weeks until Survivor Series. They're going to fight.
So just on SmackDown.
There's only two things. Yeah, he's going to fight him.
Okay.
And let's say he beats AJ Styles.
Okay.
By hook or by crook. And let's say somehow Lesnar does what he did last Survivor Series and, like, not take Mayhew serious and he rolls him up or does something and beats him, you have in one calendar year, Mayhew has beaten Randy Orton.
Stop saying Mayhew.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Fucking AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar in less than 5 months.
And John Cena.
And John Cena.
And Baron Corbin.
Oh. Yeah. You see what they're trying to do. They're trying to get him over. They're trying to be like, no, this guy sucks. This guy sucks. You don't like him because he's brown. You don't like him. I see what they're doing. I don't like it, but I see what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Does it have to be the champ versus the champ at Survivor Series? So
if the champ versus champ.
So the champ changes hands?
So say if the week before Survivor Series, AJ beats Jinder and we get Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles.
That's an angle clearly said. As of right now, these are the matches.
So if, let's say, Carmella cashes in her money in the bank and becomes a new women's champion, it's not going to be Natalya anymore. It's going to be Carmella in that
spot. We still get heel versus heel women.
Oh.
Because right now it's heel versus heel on the women.
Ding.
Right now it's the Usos against Death. Yeah. Dean and Seth.
Yeah.
And Death. Then Mayhew versus Lesnar.
God damn it.
I've always loved watching Mayhew race that IndyCar when I was a kid. So far, are you guys looking forward to the Survivor Series pay-per-view that you spent a shit ton of money to go watch here in Houston?
I basically haven't spent any money yet, so.
Oh, no, I'm still ready for it.
You still ready?
Yeah, I want to go. I like the idea of Raw versus SmackDown, and I just like the fact that we are going to have two Survivor Series-style matches.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have that last year, too?
We even had tag teams. It was 10-on-10.
We had those three Survivor Series matches.
That tag team
was a fucking mess. I'm glad.
There were so many people on the apron. I couldn't tell who was.
I don't know who was on who.
Yeah. It was like a lumberjack match, except all the lumberjacks were on the apron.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no. I'm willing to be excited for it, not because of the build, but because of the fact that it's Survivor Series. That we're going to have Survivor Series matches, and, you know, that's going to happen. And Raw versus SmackDown as a concept is fun.
Yes.
I'm going to sit here and bitch and complain all the way through as far as the build goes. Yeah. But
that's what we do.
You have every fucking right to.
Exactly. But that's if the build warrants it, you know. I mean, it could be good. It could not be good. I don't know. But that's not going to deter me from going. I'm not going to be like, oh, man, I want to go sell my tickets on StubHub.
If you do, let me know.
How about Kane against Finn Balor?
Pointless. You're trying to build Kane back up, but you're also trying to make Balor credible. You have him come out and just job out to fucking Kane just annihilated him. He didn't even stand a chance. He's making Kane look good. Like, oh shit, I haven't seen this guy perform this way since he was a half ball.
Well, see, he's the devil's favorite demon, and Finn's just a demon.
Yeah,
I know. It was funny watching when Kane first came out. I was thinking, you know, what a fun match to watch: Demon Kane against Demon Finn. And then out came Biker Finn. I was like, somebody's going to die. Yeah. Sure enough, Biker Finn died.
Biker Finn. Yeah.
I love
what they're doing with Kane's song since they don't have pyro. They're adding the noise into the song.
Yeah, there's a lot more bass pedal and snare. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Like a motherfucker.
They remixed it.
Obviously. Yeah.
No, they re-recorded it. It's brand new. There's a lot of different sounds in there that I can't pick up before.
Yeah.
I like it.
We already talked about Oscar, right? So we skip that?
Yeah, nobody is ready for Oscar.
Was anyone walking with Elias last Monday Night Raw?
I always walk with Elias.
I'm taking Elias.
Yeah, I love it. I love that he actually knows how to play guitar, and I love that he just incorporates everything that he's doing. I don't really like this feud, but that's just me because I've already soured on Jason Jordan. Mm. But
right there with you.
Yeah, I'm just like repackage, bring Stephanie out to say that it wasn't actually your kid. Do something because it's not working. He's freaking getting booed for being the face. He got cheered a little bit, but that's because Elias knows how to fucking be a heel. He knows how to get heat from a crowd. Like Green Bay, oh, man, that was low-hanging fruit. Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No,
that was funny, though.
There was a part in that segment before he went there where Elias said something to the audience, and you can tell that he could tell he wasn't getting the reaction he wanted. So he repeated himself, but more sternly.
Yeah.
And he got for all the limitations that he's had in the ring, even from NXT, dude, he's really come along as far as gauging the audience and timing what he says so he gets the reactions that he wants.
He's worked on his
craft. He doesn't have to do cheap heat to get the heat that he deserves. So I laughed my ass off when he knocked out Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm loving the
Elias. I mean, it was cheap, but it was effective.
It worked, yeah. And you already got him on the ropes. Like, yeah, that was the knockout players punch.
Were there, so that made it even better. Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be like shitting on he's gonna get shitting on J.J. Watt in front of, like, Texans players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll probably kill him.
You probably will.
I want to see that.
Yeah. You probably will.
I'm real Houston when that dumbass jumped over the thing and
that's true.
Oh, and the shield
bit. Yeah, I'll be part two. It wasn't that dumb.
Or, you know, start making fun of the Astros after they get swept by the Dodgers.
Hey.
You're not going to blow right now.
The odds of the Team Raw women winning their match with Captain Insano as their team captain?
Is it pointless to nominate? Yeah, to nominate a captain? Yes. Like, so what?
Especially once we get to SmackDown, we'll see why it was pointless to nominate a captain.
Like, what's the difference with the captain? Like, it doesn't matter.
You have to follow her what she says, but you really don't.
Yeah, you don't have to. Like, that's not a Survivor Series match. I mean, yes, there's been team captains before where it's meant something, like Brett and all his brothers versus King's Sean Court. And the fucking King's Court, where it was like, we don't know who those jobbers are or whatever, but it was really more Brett versus Sean, but they, oh, well,
Survivor Series. They had to fill a roster.
Yeah.
But then there's been other teams that's like fucking Warlord and Powers of Pain and the Ultimate Warrior versus Hogan and like all these other, like, it doesn't matter. Mark, it's just Marvel, like
Dust Vader.
Like, just throw everybody together. And it's not like you have an actual advantage depending on who the captain is. Like, it absolutely doesn't matter. So why they're making a big deal about this, I don't know. That being said, yeah, sure, Foxy, why the fuck not?
got a shirt.
Let's give her something.
We're giving people payoffs like Natty and like Mayo.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like,
you're gonna run that joke to the ground, aren't you?
Give Foxy something.
Not a joke, it's his name.
The Raw general manager himself said it, so it's gotta be true.
This has gotta be true.
Yeah,
Mayo. Closing segment of Raw.
Okay,
that let's get into this.
Was fun. They saw
really.
Oh yeah, they saw Bullet Club's invasion. They raised them one. I guarantee you, that's what they did. I know that they had whatever, even if they had it planned, they saw the reaction that, because like, oh, hey, remember we did that once with the DX invasion. Hey, people still like invasions. Let's do it. And our invasion failed in 2001. Mm-hmm. But I think that worked. I think it was fucking funny. It wasn't maybe like, they jumped mostly all fucking jobbers. Like,
They weren't jumping Brock Lesnar back there.
He was gone.
But I mean,
Balor wasn't Calcetines. He was like in his socks and the underwear.
They did get a Dean and Seth, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Dana Brooke's still running right now. she took off.
She took off.
Smart
she
one.
Was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the segment too?
I enjoyed when it was happening, but I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy the fallout of it.
Oh, Abel. I know why you don't want to enjoy it.
Why?
And I know what you would have said about a month ago, and I hope you won't say it this month.
Okay.
You're going to say, I don't want to see Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle in the wrestling.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, no, you know what?
That's not what I'm saying.
2 weeks ago, Abel would have said that.
He's learned his lesson. He's optimistic for the next Shane encounter, no matter who it is.
Right.
He's learned.
Right.
He's learned.
Here's what I'm actually wary about.
Go, please.
The fact that you have all of the roster for Raw and going up against all the roster for SmackDown, and what the SmackDown roster did that night is they were the heels. Mm-hmm. They did the dirty fucking thing, jumping in there, beating everybody up, this and that, everybody all together. But then on SmackDown was back to who was the heel, who was the face. Oh, Ziggler and Rude. Hey, I don't like you. We're not friends. Yeah. Okay, I get that. That's cool. That was a nice explanation. But why the fuck was Becky Lynch being a dick? Yeah. Why the fuck was the New Day being a dick?
Because,
you know, I
can answer that clearly. Kayfabe-wise? Oh, because you didn't think I was good enough to draft.
Okay. But come Survivor Series itself, does that mean we're all supposed to cheer Raw? Fuck Raw. But they're the ones that right now are
trying to cheer Raw. But SmackDown is a show of people.
What I'm saying is that they were booked the entire fucking SmackDown roster was booked as the heels.
Yeah.
So the entire Raw roster, inversely, are the faces. So we're supposed to go into Survivor Series wanting Raw to win. Well, no, that's obviously not how they're going to do it, because Brock, versus Jinder, you're going to pick Brock, You're not going to pick Jinder. But then you go down lower on the card. Well, you got heel versus heel with the women's match. I don't know. Tag team, okay, Usos, and, who are you going to cheer there? I guess you're going to cheer fucking Dean and Seth. All right, cool. But it's like you got to pick and choose. But then when you try to book it all one way or the other, like, I don't know. It's going to be messy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's
gonna be already messy.
Okay, go.
It's horrible. Between the fallacies of TLC and that last segment of Raw, you would think that there's moments in people's lives where you say, "Oh man, that's the moment that got me into wrestling."
Yeah.
I can see that this last weekend of WWE programming is what got me burnt out of WWE programming. Because that completely made me lose interest. Completely made me lose interest in the people on SmackDown that I was interested in. AJ was just there in a tag team match with Dean and Seth. Why the fuck is he gonna team up with the heels? And why the hell is he gonna, like, none of that shit made sense to me. This ain't West Side Story, mm-hmm. Jets and Sharks.
Yeah.
No. Like, it completely devalued every dude, SmackDown. I had the entire thing as background noise. I wasn't interested in any of it. I know what happened because I heard what happened, and I have it right here on my phone as notes. But I didn't watch. I didn't care to watch any of it.
Mm-hmm.
He got me out of interest. Like, what the fuck's Nakamura doing there fighting with the heels and faces? Like, sure, that's the guy that's not supposed to be doing heel stuff. He's the face.
Yeah.
That's the guy that you've brought.
But, I mean, we did this last year, and we didn't.
It wasn't like this.
I know it wasn't like the an invasion, but when it came time to Survivor Series, like, you genuinely saw they had like the first, like, oh, you didn't know that, what I said.
Yeah, but see, the heels on their respective brand, they were being dicks to the other brand, but the faces on their respective brand were still being faces, spirit of competition.
Okay.
But when you put a booked them all to be all the heels, like you said, Nakamura. Hell, that's what Robert right now in the live chat is saying. Was it a little off to see New Day, Nakamura, and Ty being heels and jumping people?
Yeah.
Rusev was perfect, though. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it made sense for Rusev and for Corbin.
We sit here as wrestling podcasters and bitch about things being too predictable, and whenever it's not predictable, we bitch that it's not.
I know. I'm not bitching that it wasn't like predictable.
I'm bitching that why were the faces cheering for a heel Rusev to beat somebody up?
That's true. This isn't a predictable, non-predictable thing. It wasn't predictable. That's cool. The surprise of it was awesome. It was fun. I'm not saying, it wasn't predictable, so I'm upset. I'm saying this is going to be fucking problematic, because who am I going to cheer for? I want to cheer for Nakamura, but Nakamura's supposed to be here. What the hell? You know?
I don't care. I'm going to watch a fun-ass match. Whatever fights into.
The only saving grace from that segment that I was hoping for when I was watching it in the moment, I think I got on SmackDown, because there was one person on that SmackDown brand that was not there in that whoopings. Well, several, but the one that I was focusing on.
Charlotte.
Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, he can't get physical
anyway. I'm ready to pounce on that one.
I'm ready for this. You just
said that.
Yeah.
We've been told through WWE programming, Daniel Bryan's not ready.
Right.
That's the same shit they told Kurt Angle.
Right.
And what did Kurt Angle do on Sunday?
He got in there. Yeah.
So Brian's not a fan of what Shane McMahon's doing.
Yeah.
If he wants an out, who's it for? It's storytelling wise on the program of WWE on Monday. Who's to say Kurt calls up Daniel Bryan and says, "Hey man, I hear you're not happy on SmackDown. I hear people on SmackDown aren't letting you want to get back in the ring. The one thing you really want to do."
Yeah.
You saw what I just did, right? You tweeted me congrats on Twitter.
Yeah.
What if you jump over to the red brand, and I'll give you the opportunity that you've been looking for.
Yeah, but see, the WWE isn't in a current lawsuit on why Kurt Angle couldn't wrestle.
That's true.
The WWE cannot let Daniel Bryan wrestle. We need to get that out of our minds. He can't wrestle until either he leaves and comes back, and they say, "Hey, fuck it, I guess he could wrestle," or until this shit blows over, because they're literally in a lawsuit with people with concussions saying, hey, man, this is why we can't live, and because of Young.
The kayfabe reason why Kurt couldn't wrestle is way different than the reason why Brian can't wrestle. Yeah. But the kayfabe reason for Kurt was just that, kayfabe. We all know because he was wrestling against Cody Rhodes. Yeah. He's been wrestling in this and wrestling in that. But with Daniel Bryan, he hasn't been wrestling because he's not supposed to be wrestling, period.
I think
the reality and the kayfabe line up with Daniel Bryan. Yeah. The reality and kayfabe did not line up with Kurt Angle. So that's why Kurt Angle could, it's a miracle he came back, you know?
They're setting it up perfectly because he wasn't there, and because the next day they're saying, hey, why'd you do that with Dr. Cole to me? That gives him an out to not be touched.
That was the one thing I was going to say that kind of could possibly redeem all of this shit in my mind. D-Bry not being cool with what Shane did, and then that dividing the SmackDown locker room where, okay, maybe the faces on the SmackDown roster side with Shane where, hey, this was too far, and the heels side with D-Bry and the heels with Shane or whatever, and then they take it all to fucking, Raw at Survivor Series. But as of right now, before all that shit went down, it looks like Raw's going to be all baby faces, including fucking people that we don't like. Hmm. And, SmackDown's going to be all heels, and it just doesn't make sense for guys like Nakamura, or New Day, or and all the other people we talk about.
Yeah, I still think it's just about – I get the whole heel thing, but I think Brand Supremacy is trying to trump all.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens offering their services.
I love heel Sami.
I'm digging it.
I love heel Sami so much. He's having and you can tell he's having a good time because he's like, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah,
I don't have to I don't have to be the image of for the kids and stuff like that. Fuck the kids. You know what he's saying? He's just like, I'm going fucking Scott.
But he's still holding on to what he thinks are his own morals.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's brilliant.
He's almost like the Mahal, where like you're booing me because you want to boo me. I'm still doing the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm sick.
I kind of like Enzo.
Sticking in my guns.
Yeah,
yeah.
More like Enzo.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Enzo's a dick.
he's got you,
but Enzo's been a dick, not to you.
We had a moment at the end of the SmackDown where Randy Orton had to give Sami Zayn a low blow to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
That's protecting Sami Zayn. We live in a world where Sami Zayn is getting protected.
Yes,
I love SmackDown.
But at the same time, Orton's been the sole survivor of how many Survivor Series matches? He's been a finalist in how many Survivor Series matches? You think he's going to let that position go to this pipsqueak?
I think he's going to be the first one eliminated.
Yeah.
Hot take. He's going to be the first one eliminated.
Okay.
Or he turns or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But
well, you can't turn if you're already a heel.
Is he a heel right now?
All of SmackDown is.
New Day against Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
That was fun.
Usos on commentary was fun too.
Yeah. They're like, oh, he had you too and everything. That was good. I guess they're trying to do Usos like kind of, flip flopping
tweeners.
Yeah, tweeners.
Not necessarily like, hey, buy my merch, babyface, but I don't like you. That's why people like me.
Yeah.
Because I don't like you.
Yeah. And Shelton Benjamin, he's got it, man. He's still bigger than he was before. He's
definitely thicker.
Yeah. And Gable's his stock for me has gone up since Money when he beat the shit out of Jason Jordan. Purposely, he fucking ran at him.
Again, he's supposed to be a babyface, though.
Yeah.
Well,
AJ was in the fucking room when fucking Anderson and Gallows got beat up.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan was getting beat up by Chad. And, all that stuff just felt so fucking forced.
Yeah.
It felt too forced to me. I've always wondered, when they did the separation, it's like, man, I would love to have a tease at the Royal Rumble where Gable's on one side and fucking Jordan's on the other. First time seeing each other since, and you actually get a reaction from the crowd and build on it. Instead, they just gave that shit away like nothing.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird because I feel like the SmackDown versus Raw stuff is kind of like an all-star game, where almost exhibition. That's how it should be. But then, we're going to take it fucking serious. Where that's what baseball tried to do. We're going to take it serious, and whoever wins the All-Star game, they get home field advantage in the World Series. Oh, all right. So, hey, this is for something. But the Pro Bowl, ain't for shit. The NBA basketball All-Star game, they ain't for shit.
But that's why people watch the MLB All-Star game. They don't watch
Pro Bowl. But they got rid of it.
Yeah.
They don't really watch the All-Star game. They watch the Home Run Derby because that's what's cool.
Yeah.
Chicks will always dig the long ball.
Yeah.
I
was hoping that Survivor Series would be more like the second ECW One Night Stand, where you had Sabu get a title shot at Rey Mysterio's World Heavyweight title. Yeah. You had Rob Van Dam getting a title shot at John Cena's WWE title. It would have been cool if they're going to have brands going up against each other.
Oh, home run by the Dodgers.
It should have been
interesting. That's two runs, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it
was two runs. They had a guy on first.
It would have been interesting to see somebody from SmackDown.
Two run, yeah, 3-1.
Nakamura from SmackDown getting a shot at Lesnar's title. How about somebody from Raw getting a title shot at Jinder Mahal's SmackDown WWE World Heavyweight title and actually have the promos between brands as opposed to just everybody show up one day and beat the fuck out of each other? Yeah. And that's the kind of shit I would think you would say for at least a go-home show or for this pay-per-view itself. You want to see the people fight against each other? You pay me $10 to watch that. Mm-hmm. Not just give it away the first fucking night of the build.
Now, I know we're having War Games the night before. All right, and so NXT kind of practically has its own thing, so we're not going to want to get into this where I'm fixing to get into, but it would be a nice little fantasy. What if we got Raw versus SmackDown? They're trying to duke it out. They're trying to do whatever, and then NXT Invasion is like, hey, you guys, fuck y'all. We're trying to actually make a name for ourselves, get up in there. We just had War Games, and it was fucking awesome, and you know what? Boom, then they start invading. That's the real fucking invasion, because Raw versus SmackDown, there's really nothing at stake. All throughout the rest of the year, we never see, Raw Pride and SmackDown Pride, except between Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle. All the rest of the people are like, yeah, I'm on SmackDown, it's a lot of opportunity, but they're not. I'm not going to fucking – I'm looking out for my best interest, not for the interest of the brand. Yeah. But, like, people on NXT, they have motivation to try to take out the Raw people and the SmackDown people so that they could get their shot to enter in and to make their own brand. Like, I think that would make more sense.
Even more sense if the people in that match started turning on each other. Who are the guys from NXT that have clout, that have pennants? Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura. Right now, Baron Corbin, as much as you hate to admit it, he's got the United States title. He's a somebody there. Dolph Ziggler just showed up. And then you have those four guys start to turn on your brand. Ty Dillinger's also a somebody. Tyler Breeze is a somebody from NXT. Have the people from NXT surround the ring as that main event match starts. And then right as soon as the bell rings, all your guys in the match that are NXT alumni start beating the shit out of and everybody takes over. That would help if NXT was already live, so we would know what it felt like when Undisputed Era came in and started beating the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Like it takes the element out of surprise when it's taped, so you don't think about NXT at that level, because NXT is not that show.
Also, right. keep in mind the WWE owns all three things. They're not going to invade them. Well, I guess they are invading themselves already with Raw and SmackDown.
I don't think they're going to go that level with it.
Technically, they invaded themselves with the invasion back then.
That's why
back
then.
Yeah. You know.
But I don't know.
All right, what else we got?
Reservoir Files.
That was funny.
It was enjoyable. Next week, Stranger Things. Yeah. Oh God,
I'm more excited about next week.
Yeah,
this one was funny. It was cute.
But that's the extent of it. It's funny. It's cute. That's it. I really hope it's not the Bludgeon Brothers that this all winds up going to, because right now I don't want to see Bludgeon Brothers in the same universe as the Fashion Files.
Yeah,
because I think that's just going to be too much of a clash of the styles that you're trying to do here. Like Bludgeon Brothers, you're trying to make them a real credible threat. And the Fashion Files, they're cute.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. You know, so it's like, not yet. It's too quick. It's too quick for me.
Yeah. Too quick to label Ascension as cute? Ascension as part of the show?
I've been on with them for a couple of weeks already. Like, yeah,
that's cool. I get it. They're being dorky enough with them.
Which will work for Brizongo, so let them have it.
I mean, they used to be fucking the monsters that were unstoppable, unbeatable in NXT, but
they got stopped and beaten.
Yeah.
bigger problem, having Breezango wrestle the Bludgeon Brothers through this story, or just having Breezango continue doing the backstage vignettes and never wrestle?
I don't want them to never wrestle. Yeah. I would like for this at some point to actually reach a fucking conclusion.
Yeah.
Like, if they keep this up for 6 more months, I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, I enjoyed the shit out of whatever it is that Bray Wyatt was saying for the first couple of years. Mm-hmm. But then eventually I'm like, there's no point. Yeah. Like, he's not going to win anything. Yeah. And the stuff that he's saying that, yeah, the stuff that he's saying that doesn't make sense that you're hoping will make sense in the future, you're starting to realize never made sense and is never going to make sense because there's not something behind it. Kind of like Shane with Vince and the lockbox thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so excited. What's in the lockbox? What's in the lockbox? Oh, my God. Yeah. And then come to find out there was never anything in the lockbox because they never fucking came up with it, you know, because they weren't smart enough. And I think this might be that same kind of thing where they're like writing the build, but they don't have the end game. And that's terrible to do, you know?
Yeah.
Bludgeon Brothers are headed to Doomsday Wrestling soon. Thanks, Aaron.
Oh, shit. Aaron's watching us.
Oh, yeah, we've descended
to a new depth.
He did say Nakamura was walking like Michael Jackson, and it was fantastic.
In those tight pants?
Yeah, I guess so. He likes the tight pants.
Shirt tucked into his jeans.
Yeah, SmackDown Live shirt tucked into it.
Did you enjoy the raping of Sunil Singh by AJ Styles?
I blinked and missed it. Like, I was watching it, but I was like, what happened?
It's Sunil Singh.
Yeah.
Like, you were expecting a squash out of Emma? Come on. You know, Emma and Asuka? Well, okay. Sunil Singh. Now, that's a guy you could squash.
That's the guy you squash. What's the other guy's name?
Samir.
I love next Samir's week.
Promo that he cut. Next week, it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. You said that last week.
Yeah, that was great.
That's
going to
be awesome.
That's it for SmackDown.
Except for the 2 out of 3 falls match next week with Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler that nobody cares about.
At least there's something. There's a prize for it.
I literally fell asleep.
What's the prize?
The winner gets to be in the Survivor Series team.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. See, I literally fell asleep to their promo.
And then
it went on too long.
Nakamura and Kevin Owens one-on-one, and the winner gets a spot in the team.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it for SmackDown.
Yay.
NXT.
Okay.
We are NXT.
Better triple threat match. Last week's?
This week's.
Or this one?
This week's.
I don't remember last week's anymore, so this week's. By default.
What about you?
That could be my match of the week pick.
That's what I was trying to lean towards. That could have been my match of the week pick. I don't know if I wanted to go with that or with the AJ Finn or with the main event of TLC. I wasn't sure. I mean, we got one guy over here throwing one of them on for fucking match of the year already. So, I mean, I guess we know Arnold's pick on that. But
my only flaw in this match is with Ember Moon.
Why?
I've already seen her lose to the best that NXT had to offer in the main event picture. For her to be in this match now feels kind of cheap. And if she wins the belt, it'll feel kind of cheap.
Yeah. Well, what did I say? She lost to Asuka, and she should have gone back of the line.
Yeah. I think this is one of the times that you weren't here, Arnold. I think I had said that if Ember winds up – no, I think you were here. If Ember winds up winning the title, now that Asuka's gone, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say the same type of things that they said when the Rockets won when Jordan left.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you only won because of whatever. Like, it might be the same kind of thing.
If it turns her heel because she gets that kind of reaction, then it'll be acceptable what they're doing now.
Okay.
In the moment, I would have loved to have seen Sonya Deville win the match. And have Ember versus Ruby Riott at TakeOver for the next in line. Because they have pretty good chemistry in that ring. And I think they've wrestled once before on NXT television.
Riott and I remember liking Riott and Sonya?
No.
Riott and Ember?
Ember and Riott, yeah. And that was really good, man. I wanted to see more of that.
Okay.
So and then Sonya, and then between Kairi Sane and Peyton Royce already in the match. Having somebody with an MMA background with a different style with the rest of the women would have been very refreshing as opposed to somebody that I've already seen in the main event picture twice. And the story hasn't given me enough to suspend my disbelief to think that she's not credible.
Yeah.
Okay.
But besides that, the match itself was fucking good, dude. Mm-hmm.
Aaron says Billie Kay is kind of cheap.
Yeah. I don't really have an answer to that.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Billy Kay just got freaking, no pun intended, eclipsed by Peyton Royce.
Yeah.
Woo, Peyton Royce.
Ding. Yes.
Dang, Peyton. Mm. Mm-hmm. Who's the fourth? We got a battle royal coming up.
I'm sure you already read the spoilers. So it doesn't matter.
I forgot.
Okay. I'm hoping, just out of personal preference, it's Dakota Kai.
Okay.
Because I fucking love Dakota Kai.
Okay.
That's ideally, fair. It should be a heel because that's
that will balance it out.
Mm-hmm. So maybe
Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair.
Why not?
The Mortal Kombat chick with the long hair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be fun as fuck to watch. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, any one of the heels from the fucking Mae Young Classic, I'll be okay with.
I know Shayna Baszler ain't coming up, but that would have been fun.
Yeah. What about the chick that was her mentor that she beat up? What was her name?
Oh, Mercedes Martinez. Oh,
Mercedes Martinez. There you go.
How the fuck did I memorize that?
I don't know. I don't think
she got signed. She wasn't one of the ones that got signed.
Robert says, I'm already thinking tonight's Battle Royal winner is getting the title. Okay, well, don't tell me who it is because we haven't watched it. Yeah. We had the Astros game on, and then we started recording this, so we don't know.
That's why he keeps leaning slightly to the right.
Yes.
Because the TV's over here.
Trying to look past the man bun.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I know. This time last year, I was bitching at Roman in the man bun.
Yeah.
And now I adopted it because I'm a lazy hypocrite.
Fuck. Yeah.
How about we end the show on a high note? Arnold. First impression with the whole Aleister Black Velveteen Dream segment / match.
I loved it. I loved it, man. I said the first time that I saw it, I even posted up on our chat. You know, it reminds me of Goldust Undertaker. It reminds you of like trying to get in your head, but not trying to get in your head. And then you see Aleister Black at the end of the match. He finally turns, but it was whenever he already walked away.
It's like, is he gone yet?
He just turned and turned back. Yeah. Like he didn't like gaze.
Yeah, he just acknowledged him.
He's thinking, where the fuck's my vest?
Mm-hmm. See my vest. Made of real gorilla chest.
I actually cannot wait for this match because Patrick Clark is getting better and better in the ring.
Velveteen Dream.
Patrick Velveteen Dream Clark is getting better in the ring. Tommy Aleister Black N is even fucking fun to watch.
And Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. Jinder Mahal Singh. Interesting to watch. It wasn't until like his last match where you told me that I realized, dude, Aleister Black really does not grapple. He does not
strikes.
Yeah,
right.
That's literally
his style strike.
Him and Sonya Deville are the same wrestler.
Whoa, bump the brakes there.
Put him in a video game, they have the same arsenal.
All right.
Put him in the video game, they have the same strikes.
All right. No, but grapples. Not the same stats.
No, not the same stats. No.
Okay.
Come on, man. Be realistic here.
I'm expecting that match to, other than the War Games match, because of the novelty, I'm expecting Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream to steal the entire Survivor Series weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an equal part storyline build and equal part potential as far as their athleticism goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That if there's going to be any disappointment, I'm going to be forcing it to happen.
If
because
we
I'm
don't
just
get...
expecting it organically to be the shit.
If we don't get.
And I got Black losing. Yeah. I got Velvet.
If by December, January, we don't get a team called Black and Purple, I don't even know why we're doing this. You know what I mean?
Oh, Lord.
But, yeah.
What about you, man? Did you catch the segment?
The segment with Black
the and... match, Aleister Black against Mendoza!
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with y'all.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I thought I was a part of this conversation. I guess I wasn't. Okay. No,
you keep staring slightly to the right. That's making you very unhappy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So before we all leave and cry and sleep, you
me
were busy watching yourself.
Oh, yes, that's true. Episode 4 and episode 5 of DCW Thunderstruck is now on the YouTubes.
Did you pronounce that right?
DCW Thunderstruck?
Thunderstruck.
Thunder
with a Z.
Yes, Thunder's it has a Z.
Drug.
Yes, yes. go on to the YouTube. I guess we're winding down here, so as soon as we're done, please go check it out. Just search DZW Thunderstruck, and it should be right there, easy to find. Yeah, episode 4 and 5. The main event of episode 5 is Luther Black versus Shigeyuki Kawahara, who's
actually got that name right.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I thought I was going to learn a Japanese
household name.
Yeah. He's from Japan. He gets he gets a visa to come to the States every so often, usually like a month or a 3 month visa, and he trains at Funaki's Dojo in San Antonio.
Wow.
Well, that particular day that we had our DZW Thunderstruck, he came down and challenged our Lightning Division champ, Luther Black, and that match, holy fuck.
That was an amazing match.
That's on the program.
That's on episode 5. Okay. So yeah, that's the main event of episode 5.
To sell this better, he gets a chance. He gets a visa once a year to come over and wrestle, and he chose.
Yes.
Over WWE.
Over WWE. Yes. That's so exactly. Check that shit out. Ding. There you go. Yes. Please check it out. Myself and co-host Nick T. Vegan, we do the commentary, and we try to not suck. I think we not suck, but we can improve. But please help support us, help support DZW, help support local independent wrestling. And hey, we're trying to get some shit done around here, so please check it out.
All right. And, you sold it then, for me. I might act. This will be the first episode I watch.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Then on the 28th, Saturday the 28th, Hallowed Ground at the DZW headquarters out in Katy, Texas, 1812 Avenue D. That will be the taping for the next set of episodes. And the main event for that is going to be a 6-man gauntlet match to determine a new number one contender for the DZW heavyweight title. Right. And these two... Silky Bane still. These two episodes, episode 4 and 5, had series of matches to determine qualifiers to show who's going to be in that match.
Cool.
So,
you have until Saturday to watch these.
Yeah, so watch these and then go out to Saturday to DZW, and that should be primo stuff.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I found out before we started recording, mm-hmm, the main event of Wrestle Circus in Austin.
Hold on. I have a very important thing here in the chat.
Uh-oh.
Alberto Hernandez says, hey, Arnold, fuck you.
I love you too, Beto.
There you go. Okay, I thought it was very important. I saw it right here. I had to continue.
That's my boy.
Yes.
For anybody that's not going to take over on Saturday, Wrestle Circus' main event for the Ringmaster title is the champion, Brian Cage.
Oh, he's a machine.
Against the challenger, Keith Lee.
Holy shit. Oh,
he's a machine. God damn. Oh, my. You're going?
I'm at TakeOver,
dude. Oh, that's right. That's right. The same guy as TakeOver.
Hopefully somebody will record that Twitch stream because they're going to be airing it live on Twitch for free, gratuities.
Watch it.
And watch it during something. Yeah. And your phone just reset because galaxies do that. That's, I'm surprised it didn't catch fire.
It's never done
before. Friday night's already been announced. The Friday night before NXT TakeOver, there's an NXT house show in San Antonio. The main event, Drew McIntyre's defending the belt against Adam Cole.
Baby.
Shawn Michaels is the guest referee.
What?
Low-key, I've realized in the past 2 weeks that Adam Cole looks like Shawn Michaels.
What?
Not just a coincidence.
He looks like
maybe
a tiny ear.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So,
one of his illegitimate children? Then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with the Abba?
So apparently, there's been a challenge going around on Twitter, and somehow at NXT TakeOver, we're going to have an ab contest between Johnny Gargano and Shawn Michaels.
First one to get an ab.
Do either one of them have abs? I don't.
I just want Johnny Gargano against Tony Nese.
Yes.
This is prime for Tony Nese to show up and say, I must have lost my invitation in the mail, obviously, but I got here a day early.
Obviously,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
9. Wait, what?
That's Sean.
That's not an ab. That is not an ab.
Not an ab.
Oh, man.
Intercostal. Yeah.
So there's plenty of wrestling going around. Not so much Lucha Underground. We didn't talk Lucha Underground tonight. Why?
It's over.
It's done.
Because we actually recorded a special edition of the Dark Match on Sunday.
Yes, we did.
Half of the reason why he was so burnt out on TLC, we sat here at 11:30-ish. Saw all four episodes back to back to back to back. Is there anybody in the chat room that saw or heard on iTunes the podcast on Sunday to help our friend Abel here with his conundrum?
Oh, yes. Well, we did have Juan in the
YouTube,
comments
on
YouTube. He pretty much didn't say either way. He just kind of like threw out a statement there. Do you have it pulled up?
I took a screenshot of
the
alert.
Please,
when
if
it
you could pull
up
it up. Basically, my whole thing was that I really enjoyed the Hell of War match. Yes, I agree it's match of the year caliber, but I don't know if I agree with what all took place in the match as far as like how far you're actually willing to take bloodiness and gruesomeness and brutality in the wrestling world today. So I kind of didn't want to nominate it for match of the year because of that. But you
disagree.
It's
rewarding, like Shock, isn't it?
Okay. Did you? Well, you didn't watch.
No, but I just by you describing it, it's the kind of shit that I don't like.
Okay.
I don't like that stuff. I always hated backyard wrestling. I always hated, to a certain extent, ECW because of that stuff. Call me old fashioned, but I was watching two men in underwear wrestle.
Ding. Okay. Well, then, what are your feelings on like Edge versus Foley? Sorry. With the fire table and all that.
I mean, it's a bit much, but that's fine.
Okay, because this was more than that. I mean, there wasn't a flaky table.
Oh, no. This was a lot more than that.
I don't know.
Juan in the YouTube channel responded. This is what Juan said, yes. The glass spots was bloody and gory, but that type of door is mostly superficial. A bloody back is way better than an actual back injury.
Yeah, and then he continued on there. He was saying that, like, that those spots, since they're superficial, those are like softer bumps than some of the stuff you would see at the G1 Climax. And he said, like, one of those matches, Naito versus someone, those are harder bumps and the concussions will be a lot worse than just lacerations on your back. Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of get it.
Then you have New Jack Dr. jumping Juan, 20 feet off a table into another table.
Yeah, it's fucking New Jack. So, I don't know. That really didn't solve our conundrum. I don't know if anybody else.
We'll try again next week. Yeah. But we want to get to the bottom of it.
Aaron says, did Arnold just get off of work from Lids?
Yes. I'm sponsored by Lids. No, I'm not sponsored. I owe them so much money.
You want your name stitched in a hat for free, don't you?
What? Ooh.
That can't be a good
Astro stuff.
That can't be a good
on edge because the Dodgers apparently are wrestling doesn't do that for us anymore.
What
happened, Randy?
Errant ball.
Oh. Okay, an errant pitch, but it's fine.
He's like, no, he's in a chat room, right?
Yeah. All right.
That's it, man.
We're done?
Yeah.
All right, adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Get out of here.
End this shit now. I will end it. I don't even know how to. I'm just going to close it up.
That red button, press it with the mouse. I got a stereo. You just got to turn the knob. Maybe we'll go as far as we can. I'll be your garbage man. I'll take out your junk and I'll crush it down. Jesus in the rear view and the highway patrol is up ahead in my garbage truck.